Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ. Today is a special day. It's twice as special for me. It's a Father's Day, but it's also my one-year anniversary of coming to Lake Norman. And so I'm grateful that you've put up with me this long. Hopefully, it goes a little bit longer than just a year. Some people have said it's gone by real fast, and others have said, seems like you've been here forever. I'm not sure which one I like more, but I'll take them both. But today I want to talk to you about a particular man within Scripture that encourages us to be better fathers, since today is Father's Day. But he's a man that a lot of times is overlooked. You don't really hear a lot of sermons about him. You might hear a lot of sermons with him involved in the story. A lot of times those occur around Christmas when you're talking about the birth of Jesus, or a lot of churches are talking about the birth of Jesus, and you see all these scenes of Mary and Joseph and the baby and the manger, and you see all that stuff, but you don't really focus on Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus. And I understand why. We're focused on Jesus. We're focused on God with us, Emmanuel. We're focused on the salvation that we have in him, but we forget about this man named Joseph, who was the earthly father of Jesus, a man that God chose to raise his son. There is a movie that was made especially for TV back in 1983 called Who Will Love My Children? And it was about this true story of Lucille Frey, who was diagnosed with cancer. And being diagnosed with cancer at that time, she knew that her death was imminent, that it was coming. And she decided that she would start to look to handpick the parents that would take care of her 10 children. She had a husband, but she knew that he would not be able to care for her 10 children. So she went on this search to find those parents. And as I think about God in a similar fashion, not in the exact same way, but in a similar fashion, he scoured the world. He looked over the entire world, and he was looking for, one, a woman that would take his seed, that would take his son, Jesus. But he was also looking for a man. He was looking for a couple. He was looking for a man that could raise his son in a godly way. And so as we look at Joseph this morning, he didn't just call Mary. He called a man named Joseph to raise his son, to look after him, and he was chosen to do so. So what about Joseph that makes him special? What is it that God saw in him? First off, I believe that God saw a loving man. If you look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." So first off, you see that he was a loving man towards Mary. Now just put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment. You've done everything right up to this point. You've sought after her in the right way. You've talked to her parents. You've done everything right. You're betrothed. You're basically married already. You're at that point, and all of a sudden you find out she's pregnant. And the interesting part of this is it's not just another guy, but it's God. And I'm not sure he knows that right at this moment when he finds out that she's pregnant, but he sees this, he knows this, and you know, Mary, I love you, and I could rebuke you in a public way. I could do all these things. We could stone you. You cheated on me. I could do all these things according to the Old Testament law. But you see his love for Mary and the fact that he said, I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to shame you. I don't want to put you down. I don't want to do any of that. I'd rather just take care of this secretly so there's no extra shame or extra burden put on you. And he was ready to do that. But it's not just this love that he has towards Mary, it's also the love that he has toward Jesus. If you continue reading on, Joseph is visited. In verse 20 it says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so Joseph was kind, and he loved Mary, and as he takes in this, he understands that he's also going to be a father himself, and he does what the angel tells him to do. But when you start to think about this, the responsibility that comes up, what were Joseph's and Mary's plans before all of this? What were the plans that they had for their own lives? I mean, that they were ready and willing to do with one another in those secret moments when they had talked to each other and said, "This is what I'd like for us to be able to do. I know I'm a humble carpenter, but I see great things for our future, and these are our plans." And now he's blindsided. Mary's pregnant, and it's not another guy. It's not just any other guy. It's God the Father. And now I'm going to be a father myself. I'm going to, in essence, adopt this son into my household. So if you continue reading here, it says, "Now all this," in verse 22, "now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." It's interesting that this is what Joseph decides to do. You could have just said, you know, Joseph, it's a lot of responsibility to take on. And when you think about men in our society today, and we talk about commitment issues, "Mary, that's a grand story. And God, I heard the angel in my dream. I saw that. I heard the message. But I'm not ready to be a dad. I'm not ready for this right now. And this is a lot of responsibility. I just thought I finally had a wife, you know, and now I've got a wife and I've got a kid, and I'm not ready for this. Pick somebody else. Do something different. Do you really need a father?" I think this emphasizes for us today how important the role of the father is in the household. You would say God doesn't need an earthly father for his son. And that might be true. God could have taken care of it however he wanted to, but he designed the family in a certain way. And how important it is not only to have the mother in the home, but how important it is to have the father in the home, to raise them, to encourage them, to teach them, to admonish them in the ways of the Lord. And that's what God was seeking for his own son, Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Joseph was a loving man. He loved Mary and he loved Jesus. He raised him as his own son. And so as I think about fathers today, we need to be loving fathers. We need to be loving husbands. Our children ought to see us caring for our wives, showing that love, and showing that love to our children. It's not only being affectionate, but doing the things, the little things, not just the big things, that show that love that we have for our household, for the ones that we say we love? Are we showing it? Number two, you see Joseph as a righteous man. Plainly put, he was a man that obeyed God. As you look at this message, here's Joseph, here's what I want you to do. She's with child, she's with God's child, and you're going to name him Jesus, and you're going to live and teach him my word. Teach him my ways. Okay. To take on the responsibility of God's own child. But look at this with me for a moment. He agrees to that, but in chapter 2, you also see the fact that King Herod wants to kill this newborn king, and so he decides to kill all the babies under a certain age. You see that there in starting in verse 16. But Joseph and Mary were warned beforehand by the wise men or the magi that came earlier in verse 12. Having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the magi left for their own country by another way. So they left a different way. Now look at verse 13. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So what does Joseph do? Verse 14. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He was obedient. Here is God coming to him and saying, "You need to get up right now and go to Egypt. Take Jesus with you." I don't know if I could do that. It was hard enough to make the move from Colorado to North Carolina to come here, right? And I was bringing all five children to my wife and doing all that. But I had planned. It had taken months of preparation. We had gone through all this process. It took money. And here's Joseph in the middle of the night. "Mary, wake up. Get Jesus. We're leaving." "Where are we going?" "Egypt." "Egypt?" You know, really? And he's a carpenter and he has his shop and he has what he does here and he's just uprooting everything and going to Egypt. He was obedient to God, and it doesn't just stop there. If you skip on down to verse 19, it says, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel." And so you notice that he just simply does as he's asked of, as he's commanded, as he's told by God. There doesn't seem to be any questioning. God, can we think about this for just a moment? I finally got my shop set up in Egypt. We're finally doing all right. We've got a business going here. I think I might want to stay at least a little bit longer. No, go back to Israel. Go back to my people. Go back to your land and be with them and take the son, my son, with you. And as you talk about him being righteous and obedient, you can't help but notice the faith that is involved with all of this. It takes faith to pack your bags and head off to a foreign country with no prospects, with no planning, with no prior planning, just simply on the basis that God said so. And then to turn around and do it again a little while later. He was a man of faith. Now, fathers, I want you to think about this for yourselves. Have you been a man of faith? Have you been that example to your children to show them how important it is to believe in God, to trust in God, and do what He says, even when it doesn't necessarily fit with your own personal plans? You see him set an example for his family. Every time God says to do something, Joseph is ready and willing to do it. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, you notice that there is an example set with Joseph and Mary as they lead their family It's not just Jesus. There are other sons and daughters born to them. Of course, later on, we notice James serving as one of the elders in Jerusalem and also pens a letter for us in the New Testament. And also Jude is another brother or half-brother of Jesus that we see a letter penned for us in the New Testament. And the fact that Joseph had a hand with these children is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But notice in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Now, it just seems like some simple information there, right? This is just backstory to what's happening, because Luke goes into verse 42, "And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast," right? This is just some backstory, but what does it tell you about Joseph and Mary? What do they do every year? At the feast of the Passover, they went up. They went there. They planned it. They did these things on a regular basis. It was their plan to be faithful, to attend these feasts, to do these things. What about for us as fathers? Are we showing that example not only in coming to worship, but taking advantage of other opportunities to serve and to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, to serve the Lord? Here's just a brief illustration for you. There's a little boy playing on Sunday morning out in the yard, and his father was reading the paper in his chair. And he looked at his son and said, "It's time for you to get ready for Sunday school." The boy looked at him and said, "Great, are you going to be coming with me this morning?" And his dad said, "No, I won't be coming." And then the boy said, "Did you go? When you were a boy, did you go to Sunday school?" And he said, "Well, of course I went to Sunday school when I was a boy." And the dad got up and walked off and went back into the house. And the boy stood there for a moment and just mumbled under his breath, "Yeah, I don't think Sunday school is going to do any good for me either." Because as he looked at the example of his father, he recognized, that's not the man I want to be. But he also sees the fact that his dad went to Sunday school, but what did it do for him? Well, what are we doing as parents, as fathers, as examples for our children? Are we encouraging them and building them up, not only in the ways of the world, in the sense of making sure they've got an education, making sure they have a good job and they're doing things right in the world, but what about with God? What about with our relationship with Him? Because the world will eventually be destroyed. The world's going to go away at some point. Not only that, but our time on earth is limited. We might do some wonderful things in the world, but if we don't have that relationship with God, it's not going to matter. It's not going to be that big of a deal. It will be forgotten. But if you continue to show them the example of faithfulness, of leading them not only physically in this world, but spiritually and emotionally, your children can grow into the man that not only you want them to be, but who God wants them to be. Now, our children are watching, and they're seeing our faithfulness, or they are seeing our faithlessness. So let's just recap for a moment. Joseph was a loving man. He's also a righteous man. And we see it in a number of ways, how he treated Mary, how he treated Jesus, how he brought him into his own household, how he obeyed God when he was called, and how he was faithful throughout that and an example. But we also notice with Joseph that he was a man that redeemed the time. As far as we know, Joseph didn't live a long life. We don't know exactly how old Joseph was. It's normal, it's customary that the man would be older than the woman. Mary was most likely a teenager, and Joseph a little older than her for sure. But after the first couple of chapters of the gospel accounts, you don't hear about Joseph anymore. And as you look at Jesus on the cross, he gives the care of his mother into the disciple John. And so it seems like Joseph at some point was gone. He had died. He had passed away. He was no longer a part of that world. And so he had a shortened life. But it seemed to me that Joseph used that time wisely. Fathers, as we look at ourselves, we don't know how much time is given to us. I've just recently started to hear about a number of friends going through different things, just a freak car accident that just happened as they were going through an intersection. Somebody else was running a red light, and they decided, oh no, I'm running this light. I can't stop in time, so what will I do? I'll speed up to get through the intersection faster. And instead, they hit that car coming through the intersection just that much harder and destroy somebody's life. It can happen in an instant. Here are friends that are diagnosed with cancer or who have a heart attack at my age of 33. And you wonder, wow, really, that just happened? I mean, they're my age. They're at this point in their life. They had children. And we're seeing it happen all the time. And yet too often, I know in my life, I go along just like everything is normal and hunky-dory, and I'm going to live forever, and I've got all the time in the world to do whatever I want to do and to be there for my kids and for my grandchildren and for my great-grandchildren. You're thinking in this way, and yet that's not how God has promised us to live. It would be wonderful if that was the case, but it might not be. We don't always have the time that we've planned to have. It can be lost in an instant, and we better redeem the time that we do have. Take advantage of the time that we have with our children. It's not just the quantity of time that you have, but it's also the quality of time that you have to encourage them, to love them, to provide for them. Some people say, oh yes, I provide for my family. And what they mean is, you know, I put the check on the table. I put the money there. We're taken care of. We can eat. We can be clothed. We can do the things that need to be done in this world. But what about the other needs that they have? The affection, the example, the godly counsel, the laughter, the warmth, the love and concern, the times where you're able to sit on a boat fishing with them and talk about things that you don't always get to talk about in the hustle and bustle of life. I encourage you this morning from the example of Joseph and in many respects myself. Joseph is an inspiration for me to make sure that I live my life the right way as a husband and as a father, to make sure I'm showing that love, to make sure I'm providing in every way that I can, not just financially, but in every other area, emotionally, spiritually, in any way that I can help my children. I want to do that for them. And this morning, if you see shortcomings in your life, just as I do, but you feel like you need some more help with that you need your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you need God, and that you'd like for us to pray with you and for you this morning, the invitation is for you as we stand and as we sing.
Have thine affection.